Welcome to the Conversations About Light podcast, a King's Cross podcast illuminating our desire to engage in light-hearted conversations that are grounded in Scripture. Our hope is that through these conversations, our community will be encouraged and grow in their curiosity about light.
Welcome back to another Conversation About Light
episode.
Oh, hey. How are you going, Jib?
Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad.
You're here too?
It's a good time. You're excited to be here, Jib?
Yeah, absolutely. With his music pumping, Josh's moves just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to start rapping.
You?
They do.
Yeah? What do they inspire you to do?
To flee to the mountains.
I love it. Well, I am joined here, obviously, with Jib and Josh. And we are looking forward to continuing in this series, Eternally Human, with today's topic being emotional health. But before we dive into it, the question I have for you guys is, it's a zombie apocalypse.
Again.
Oh. Again.
Oh, sorry, that was my house yesterday.
What three people are you going to bring with you in this apocalypse? Yep. Obviously, I know, Josh, you have to think.
I have a family of six. Yeah, I have to leave someone behind. Is it?
No. So you can look at it as what three people are going to help you survive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if it is members of your family, so if you want Levi there. And
Levi the Brave, yeah.
Levi the Brave fighting at the front door, then... Yeah, throw me. Yeah.
Anna the Wild, Levi the Brain.
I'd definitely get Anna. Yeah,
she'd be very helpful in the zombie apocalypse. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And then my third one would be Vin Diesel. Because game over. You're safe.
Yeah. That seems like the well done. Great choices.
Great choices.
I'll pick different people just so Josh has his.
I should quickly remind Josh that Vin is an actor, so what he's in reality may not be the same as...
He didn't save the universe? I thought that...
What about you, Jim?
I'm incapable of living without my wife without a zombie apocalypse. So she's got to be one of them, right? And then the two other people is really easy. It's both my brothers. Matt and Ben. The thing is, as teens, there was a period where...
Quick shout out to Matt and Ben.
That's right. Well, there was a period of time in our teens where everywhere we'd go, we'd scope out, okay, what are our zombie apocalypse exits? Like, where can we kind of...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So this is... You've been preparing for this question for a while, though.
For way too long. A bit embarrassing. Really like we were into zombie games and stuff like that. And I was just kind of like looking at the reality around us. Oh, look, that'd be we could escape onto the roof through this window here. Zombies wouldn't be coming in that way.
So your plan is to run in fear and escape. our team's going to go head on, right?
gotcha. Yeah.
We're not looking for escape routes.
So my team will outlive Josh's team, it sounds like. What about you, Caleb?
What about me?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't know. Probably go the wild and crazy people. So I'll probably go lean more towards Josh's side. If you die, then...
Go out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah, okay.
Go out in a blaze of glory, yeah. Get to meet our maker.
Sure, to die is gain.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in terms of actual people, probably Josh.
Powerful unit.
That's all I need.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. You can't G-mugging Josh and his three people. So.
Well, let's dive into today's scripture, which there's a couple. So Philippians 4, verse 67 and Psalm 42. So Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Psalm 42. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God.
What are we noticing within these pieces of scripture about how it encourages believers to find hope in Jesus, even amidst difficult times?
Yeah, I think this week's Eternally Human, the aspect we're looking at is our emotions. You know, as part of the human experience, we have emotions, which obviously go up and down. If you've been alive for any length of time, you would have experienced that. I'm not sure why I'm on this podcast, because my wife had to buy me a circle, a wheel of emotion circle, which is in my office, and it sits there. Then you can help identify your emotions.
Do you spin it? And you have to help.
I don't think you're supposed to spin it. Yeah, but I think it's a very real part of. You know, emotions are such a powerful thing. They kind of affect, the effect of your emotions is it's radical. You know, it's really kind of powerful, and it's very, it just ripples through every part of your life. Mm. And so I think the resurrection of Jesus speaks to that. It points us towards him. But what I'm loving in these two scriptures, particularly in the Psalms, and the Psalms is full of this thing, is the identifying of those. So he's having these dark thoughts. He's like, I remember when.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever had that. Like, oh, remember the good old days when it was like that. And we as humans, we tend to get nostalgic. So I remember terrible experiences, which now you look back and you go, oh, I remember how awesome that was. So it's kind of our emotions even play tricks with us. And so he's remembering. He's obviously in a pretty dark place. He's like, where is God? The taunt is, where is God? That's the kind of question that he's kind of grappling through here. It's being taunted at him, but I think he's himself struggling, you know, like, and this I find amazing. Eventually he has to speak to himself.
Yeah.
He addresses himself. Now that, you know, this is long before the rise of modern psychology.
Yeah.
And the Bible's really giving brilliant framework for mental health. It's like, speak to yourself, self, put your hope in God.
Yeah,
it's incredible. What incredible wisdom to be able to do something like that. And so it's, again, I'm not saying, you know, these are quick fixes, but what wisdom in the scriptures. He's in the midst of something very dark, and he's just speaks to himself. I've found that to be very helpful, talking to myself.
Nice.
That might sound very weird, but I think there's a healthy version there where you go, hey, this circumstance, it appears like this and this, but God, where is God in it? What's your emotional response, Josh? Take responsibility for it. You know, it's helpful stuff, very helpful. So that's what I'm seeing in this text in particular.
Yeah, very cool. What about you, Jib?
Yeah, it's so encouraging to hear from your experience there, Josh. I love that these two passages, we have the very short one is kind of the solution. You know, do not be anxious in everything. Oh, just pray, give thanks, make your request known to God, and you're good, right?
Yeah.
And then we have next to us also the reality of a Psalm of David. Just turmoil of being cast down, of just being overcome. And it's powerful, and it kind of speaks to the reality of what it is like to be in some kind of struggle. And we don't need to speak to what the nature of the struggle is in the real world, except that it brings out some kind of emotional response. And the solution to the emotional response isn't just a simple sentence in practice, as true as that simple sentence in Philippians is. Absolutely true.
Yeah.
You know, without reservation. So I'm grateful that those are the two passages that we have side by side. I'll add those to those Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep.
Yeah.
So even when we're bringing this one sentence solution to someone, as not just dumping it on them and leaving, or expecting them to kind of pick themselves up by their socks and go, "Oh, okay, if I can pray, I'm all good." We are instructed. This is a good thing: is to sit with people in the reality of what they're experiencing, to share in someone's emotional experience, to really in the good of it and the bad of it.
Yeah,
that's how we love each other. Yeah. So in the reality of a broken world before the resurrection, which we are all looking forward to, that's what we're to do for sure.
Yeah. I don't know if I see Philippians 1 exactly the way you do, Jib, so correct me if I'm wrong. But like, because it's not a complete, I don't see it as a solution piece. I see it as complementing the Psalm 42 piece quite well in terms of like, there's an acknowledgement that we do as humans experience anxiety. Then it says, let your requests be made known to God. And then we see what that request looks like in David's approach. He's like, he's requesting to God, like, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And it's this like this wrestle with God, this taking his anxious thoughts to God.
Very good.
So they're almost like one's like the simplicity of like, hey, take your anxiety to God.
Yeah.
But the outworking of that might look like, God, I'm anxious. Or it might look like this vulnerable state of, I think that's what I'm getting with David, and which is very true to, I think, how we all feel deep within if we're able to pour our souls out to God.
Yeah. I think also in the Philippians 6, you see that word in everything. That really means something, doesn't it? What is everything? Well, you may be in some extremely happy circumstances. You may be in some extremely joy-killing circumstances. That's totally possible.
Yeah.
It's like Psalm 42 is this description of in everything. He has a version of in everything for you.
Yeah, good.
And like, oh, wow. In everything? And so it's a comfort and a challenge, but I agree with you, Caleb. It's kind of pushing us in that direction. But I love that the solution is still turning upon God. You know, and David there when he's speaking to himself in a sense is reminding himself that he's forgotten to do that. He's forgotten to do Philippians. He's forgotten to turn to God. He's forgotten to put his hope in God. And so he's kind of encouraging himself. Put your hope back in God. And I love what you added, Jib, about that's also the responsibility of us together, you know, the Romans text where it's like we help each other to do that. I think we had a great sermon a year or two ago in King's Cross on mourning. It wasn't called mourning. What was it called? Lamenting. So it should be on the website. But you can look back up and really kind of dealt with some of these things like how to lament well. One of the Resound pastors preached for us. Really helpful. So I'd encourage you on that resource as well. And just to frame it like this, the other thing I always think of in these spaces is where Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, God comforts those who mourn. If you know, some of the hardest emotional struggles are probably in experiencing death or death of a loved one, you know, and there's the kind of scripture where death, where is your sting?
Yeah.
And that can sound trite, like, oh, death doesn't have a sting.
Yeah.
Jesus took away the sting, isn't it? It's all good. And while that's fundamentally true, it is. We don't, you know, Paul says we don't mourn like those who are in the world. We mourn differently because we have a hope that's kind of flows over all that. So there is a difference in our mourning. Yet God still says to us, I will comfort those who mourn. So if you don't mourn, if you refuse to mourn, it's like you resisting the comfort of God in some way, I think. Like it's all good, it's okay. But if you go, God, I'm broken.
Yeah.
God, this is difficult. God, where are you? God rushes towards that. And so I think they're kind of learning to be honest about what you're feeling. It doesn't have to look like the end result. It can be the start of the journey. Yeah. But I think the other unhealthy emotional space is where we just remain in that first part of the journey. What I want to do, so lamenting in a very poor way and kind of morphs into lifestyle. And there's no, you kind of never moving to the other way. So I don't want to put a time frame on that. I think that would be unhelpful to say, you know, this takes this long, whatever.
Sure, sure.
But I think there can be a version where you, everything is great. I have, and all my emotions are happy. Or everything is terrible and I can, and you never speak to yourself. You never tell yourself, you know, you never kind of do, and the kind of tension between learning to do that without faking it, and you can't, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I really appreciate it's love, God's command to love each other is worked out in our helping each other through these kinds of situations, of our understanding that we experience these emotions, the reality of these emotions, that even Jesus, sinless, wept.
Yeah. You know,
For a friend who died, and for the feeling of those around him, even with when Lazarus died, even Jesus, knowing he was about to raise him from the dead, had such immense compassion for those around him. And so I think even then, if we lose someone today, it's right to miss them. And even if the resurrection will happen tomorrow and we will see them tomorrow, it's right to miss them between now and then, you know. And but it's a different kind of miss them. It's a different kind of miss them where, and dying is another topic that we're going to look at later in the term. But it's acknowledging the reality of the circumstances now, include our emotions. They're part of the circumstances now, and there's something to love each other in and to not sit forever, as Josh was saying. I really appreciate that we go into mourning and we work our way out of mourning by God's grace. And it's helped by the promise that without eternity solving our mourning right now, that the resurrection is every tear wiped away, everyone comforted, us united with our brothers and sisters in Christ before God.
I think I'd like to maybe speak to emotions on a less intense level, because you know, experiencing a death of a loved one is very intense.
Sure.
I think our daily, how does the gospel and the resurrection speak to our daily walk with our emotions? And I can tend to be frustrated or angry by certain things, or put out, or you know, our emotions are part of the daily function of life, not just the large occasions of life.
Yeah.
I think I would speak to that by saying to be aware that sin is deceitful. Like the Hebrews 3, you know, this sin has a deception when you tend to be blind to your own sin. Sin, when you're blind in the natural, you know about it and you make provision, you know, I think you try and help, do things that help you. When you're spiritually blind, like we are to certain sins, they can kind of, we're not aware that we're doing them. And so I think our emotions can sit in that space of where we sin with our emotions. And we just write it off as personality, or as, that's just how I am. It's okay. It's not a big deal. It's not like the high level big stuff, but we're just rude to people. That's out of an emotional response, or we're just short with people or impay. Yeah. And I'd love to say that, you know, the resurrection of Jesus must, and the gospel of Jesus must speak to us in that space as well.
Yeah.
Where we kind of become honest about, that was an emotional response, and it wasn't in line with the gospel. And how do I confront myself with it? How do I own up to that at least? And again, we need the Holy Spirit to transform us. And usually, these emotions are regular. If you take an honest look, or just ask someone close to you, what do you notice? How I tend to respond? You know, my wife's lived with me for some time. You will know the things that how I respond. So, I'd just love to bring the emotional kind of conversation to a closer, more daily kind of habit. Like, God, would you help us in that space? Yeah,
and so I'd encourage people to, as we look at our own emotions, look at what the Bible says about them specifically, or how the Bible kind of addresses them specifically, because it's not just that we can count on eternity with God, and so we know that the things that are bad now will come good in future, but also that when we have a right view of ourselves, we have less pride, we have more humility, and that takes away some of our tendency towards anger or frustration. Yeah. It increases our patience. It helps us with our self-control.
Yeah.
We can count on the bad becoming good in future, and so that can lessen our sadness as well, even at the depths of it, and also help us in the coming out of it. In different ways, each of these things are kind of addressed by our eternal perspective before our great God, alongside our fellow image bearers, who we are no greater than and also no less than, praise God, who we will share eternity with.
Also, I'll ask this question. I'll raise this in community group. I'm not sure how helpful it went, but I found this idea very challenging, because often we'll say with our emotions, oh, like I said earlier, it's just who I am. It's like, that's my response, whatever. And the kind of statement, I can't control my emotions. They just happen. And then if you think of the story, so let's say Anna and I are having an argument. You might shock you. We've done that before. And where our emotions are kind of, we're responding emotionally. I'm responding out of, you know, my frustration. Someone knocks on the door. What happens?
Right. Suddenly,
hi, come on in. How are you doing? Well, good to see you. All of a sudden, I'm happy. So do I have control? Well, in a real sense, I do, because I just turned them off. And so I think we tend to give ourselves more license than we actually should give ourselves, if that makes sense.
Sure.
I'm not saying we shouldn't, Anna and I shouldn't sit down and discuss what we felt, and that you should process those. Yeah. But at the same time, the idea that you have no control over them is a little bit, it's kind of letting yourself off the hook.
Sure.
And so that's a very challenging, you know, kind of framework and story to me. Like, oh, yeah, you can turn them off. oh, wow, okay. Don't tell anyone.
Well, you can conceal them. I don't know if that it's turning it off, but
you can choose. You can speak to yourself and go, right, I don't have to be like that.
Yeah.
You can step aside and you, so I agree with you, Kay, they don't disappear, but you can,
you manage
cease
them.
You can put the banks up and go, I'm not going to just allow this to do this. Mm. But yeah, I'm not saying we should suppress them. I'm saying we should at least be honest enough to say that I have some control. I'm not devoid of control.
And even if you're feeling like you don't have control and you struggle with anxiety or fits of anger or whatever it may be, but knowing that you don't stay in that room of despair, or like you're saying, this is who I am, but actually looking to Jesus and saying, all right, well, if this is not the resurrected body that you've given me with emotional health that you desire, then help me in this. Help me to control my anger. Help me to, when I'm having that argument with my spouse, to recognize, am I speaking to her the way that Jesus would be here present in the room, or with kindness, with I think that's the beauty of it. Beautiful. As well, is like, we have a means to run to God and say, like, I feel like I'm incapable.
Yes.
Give me what I need.
Very good.
Just in closing, what's an encouragement that we can go into this week with?
Oh, I think the encouraging thing is that, you know, I think God gave us the emotions. He made us. He put us together. He knit us together. And that doesn't just include our bodies. That includes our hearts and our minds. And I think the space in which emotions get worked out is most often in interacting with people, right? So your spouse, I think also spiritual friendships, like people who we walk with, who can speak to us. That's God's rescue to us in those spaces. So I would encourage us to, in a sense, listen to the voices around us. You know, speak to yourself as this, in a sense, that can sound weird, but learn to do that. Learn to say, take stock and go, God, would you help me with this? Love what Caleb is saying, like asking for help. And I found that to be helpful. When I viewed it as God's rescue to me, oh, something's boiling up and I've had a freak out.
Yeah.
But that person coming to me was God's rescue, because it's God saying, God highlighting, saying, going, oh, I'm going to make you more like Jesus. That becomes more beautiful and helps me respond. And I've found like that's been helpful. So I would encourage that, hopefully that kind of response. Think of it as God's rescue. I know it doesn't feel like it. Well, I'm having a struggle with this. God's heart, God's showing me something, and I can pray, ask for God's help, and maybe chat about it with those around you, a close friend or a spouse or something. It could be beautiful to see what God does.